Thank you, Lord. This is Sunday morning, 5:26:19. And we're going to look at, we started last week, we're going to pick up with looking at the prayer petition. We just, the previous teaching we were talking about, Philippians 4, talks about make your petitions known. That came out in that scripture. Your petitions. Bring your petitions. Make them known to the Lord. So we're going to look at the prayer of petition. All right, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Okay. Verse 10. Verse 10 says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from Him. Put on God's whole armor that you may be able successfully to stand up against the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, having put on their breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God, having shod your feet in preparation with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace, lift up over all the shield of saving faith, of which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and entreaty. These are petitions. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints. So, we've got to stand strong when we make a petition before the Lord and not be moved. We can't let go of it. We can't be moved by the circumstances that come against us. So these are our weapons. The name of Jesus. Let's look at some scriptures here. This is John 14. In our warfare, our weapons are, first, the name of Jesus. John 14, 12. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so the Father may be glorified and extolled in the Son. Yes, I will grant whatever you ask in my name. Whatever you ask in my name. Okay? All right, another weapon is the Word of God. This is John chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him, and without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the Word of God is what creates. When you bring your petition before the Lord, the Word of God is what is going to create what you are petitioning God for. Okay, your third weapon is the Holy Spirit. This is Romans 8. 26. So too the Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness, for we do not know what prayer to offer nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication, pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And He who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. We are sure to know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and they're fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. A lot of people take this out of context. You know what it says, all things work together for good. No, he's talking about the prayer of intercession here, the Holy Spirit taking hold together with us, praying the perfect will of God inside of us. Because when the Holy Ghost takes hold together with you to pray, he prays God's perfect will for you. That's why it's going to work together for your good. Okay. The prayer petition is a very distinct prayer. It's used only in specific circumstances and it requires specific supplication to effect a specific result. The prayer petition is a prayer that is prayed in faith for, I just wrote some things here, financial problems, marriage problems, healing, wayward kids. This year is a year of solving naughty problems and witty inventions. Mark 18:19, the prayer of agreement. Is it Mark or is it Matthew? I think it's Matthew, not Mark. It's Matthew. Verse 19, Matthew 18:19. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. All right, the prayer petition keeps your focus and prevents negative circumstances from dictating the situation. This is what Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary describes a prayer petition as follows: an earnest request or an entreaty. In a general sense, a request, a supplication, a prayer, but chiefly and appropriately, a solemn or formal supplication, a prayer addressed by a person to the supreme being for being needed or desired. It's like going before an attorney or a judge. A formal request or supplication, verbal or written, particularly a written supplication. The paper containing a supplication or solicitation. To make a request, to make supplication to a superior for some favor or right. All right, I'm going to give you some examples. The best book I know out there on the prayer petition is this one right here, Jerry Savelle. It's called The Prayer Petition. Okay, I'm going to read you a couple little things out of here. Okay, let's see here. This is a prayer petition, one of the first ones that he ever made. I was going to read it to you so you can kind of get a little idea. It says, Father, I come boldly into the throne of grace that I may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, according to Hebrews 4:16. Jesus said in John 16:23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Therefore I come before you with the mighty name of Jesus. Your word states in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I have need of, and here's where you would insert what you have need of, for the purpose of paying off the debts I owe in my business. I am doing this in order to be in harmony with your word, which says in Romans 13:8, that I am to owe no man anything but to have love him. I am asking you in the name of Jesus to supply that need. How you do it is not my concern, because right now I cast the care of all of it on you, according to 1 Peter 5:7. Father, I knew in order to reap a financial harvest, I must first sow a seed. I have $3. That's all I had to sow in order to put this spiritual law of giving and receiving into operation, which is stated in Luke 6:38. You said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. Your word also states in Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Therefore, on this day, February, I won't say the date and the time, I believe my need is met. Be specific. And now I offer praise and thanksgiving because 1 John 5:14-15 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if I know that you hear me, that whatever I ask, I know I have the petitions I've desired of you. So therefore, Father, I thank you now, even before I can see it. I believe that my need is met. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Okay. So that's just one example of how you can come before the Lord and receive from him. That's the way we're supposed to do it. You have not because you ask not. A lot of people are whining about their problems and needing things from God and want people to pray for them, but have they petitioned? Have they gone before the Lord? Now they'd go to a banker, wouldn't they? Mm-hmm. And they'd do that. They'd go to some other professional and they would request something like that, maybe even formally. Okay. All right. All right, this is the confidence that we just read that. We come boldly. This is Hebrews 4:16. Come boldly before his throne. 1 Samuel chapter 1 talks about Hannah. You know the story of Hannah? She wanted a baby, and she was at the altar, and she was pouring her heart out to the Lord. She was in bitterness because she wanted a child, and Eli comes by and he says, "What are you doing in the house of the Lord drunk?" She said, "I'm not drunk. I'm just very sorrowful." She said, "I petitioned the Lord for a child." And Eli said, "Well, go in peace. May the Lord grant your petition." And she had Samuel and she dedicated him to the Lord, into the house of the Lord. Okay, another sample. This is, I'll read a couple of these. It'll give you an idea. This is page 49 of this book. Okay, this is one for healing, physical restoration. It says here, "Be it known this day," at whatever time, a.m., p.m., date, "that I receive the healing of my body. No sickness or disease of any kind has a place in my body. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace and present your word." According to John 16:23, Jesus said, "I assure you most solemnly, I tell you that my Father will grant you whatever you ask in my name." In Isaiah 53:4-5, it's written, "Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement and evil to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that went in him, we are healed and made whole. I declare, according to Matthew 8:17, he," Jesus, "fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, which includes all sicknesses. For it is written that Christ purchased my freedom, redeeming me from the curse of the law by himself becoming a curse for me. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is crucified, so that by my receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon me. I believe in my heart and declare with my mouth that by his wounds I have been healed, as it is written in 1 Peter 2:24. And I thank you and praise you for the healing of my blank, and I thank you for the making me whole." And then signed and dated. You know, what would you do if you went and you got a, you know, borrowed money and they filled out all the contracts and everything and they agreed to do their part? Would you rest in the fact that it was taken care of? Or would you fret because of what you're seeing or what you're experiencing? Okay, sample of a marriage restoration. This is 63. Let me look here. Or this could probably be even relationship restoration. It says, "Be it known this day," sign it, put the day, the time, the hour, "I receive the restoration of my marriage and family. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace and present your word." I remember hearing the Copelands talk about years ago when they first started having problems with some teenage stuff, that they did a prayer petition concerning their kids and they never gave it another thought. They never fretted about it. They never spoke negative about it. And their kids all turned out okay. According to John 16:23, Jesus said, "I assure you most solemnly, I tell you that my Father will grant you whatever you ask in my name." I stand on Jesus' words in Matthew 19:4-6. Have you never read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female and said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be united firmly to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. I speak the word of truth, and I call those things to be not as though they are. I pray and confess that my spouse and I, let all bitterness, indignation, wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, resentment, brawling, clamor, contention, slander, abuse, evil speaking, or blasphemous language be banished from our lives. Also, all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. We choose to become useful and helpful and kind to each other, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as you, Father in Christ, have forgiven us. Father's written in Romans 8:5-5 that your love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, and I declare that your love operates without hindrance in our marriage. We put on love and enfold ourselves in that bond of perfectness which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. This would work with a relationship too, not just a marriage. In Jesus' name, I declare that we have come to our senses and escaped out of the snare of the devil who has held us captive, and henceforth will do your will, which is that we live and conduct ourselves in our marriage honorably. Okay. We appropriately add the following prayer of agreement. Jesus, you said in Matthew 18:19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Therefore, we, whoever, and I set ourselves in agreement, and we believe, we now receive, and we praise you for it, and both sign in the name and date. These prayers work, I'm telling you. So you're making a request before God, and it is not to be taken lightly. It's not flippant, but should be entered into lightly. It requires some preparation. First, put on your best clothes. You're coming before the King of Kings. This is a formal request. Steps of preparation. Know God's will concerning your matter. You know, if you know it's God's will, when you petition and ask, this is 1 John 5:14-15, you know that your request is granted. God's word must be final authority in your life. Pray the word of God. Healing is God's will. Isaiah 53:5, Matthew 8:16-17. Needs met in God's will. That's Philippians 4:19. Protection in God's will. That's Psalms 91:11. A sound mind is God's will. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Write it down, the request. Make it formal. Your point of contact. Sample of a prayer petition for freedom from addiction. There's another one. I don't know. I'll read that one. This is about, I guess, smoking and drugs and different alcohol, any kind of addiction. I guess it could be pornography or anything like that. Okay. Says, be it known this day, the date, that I receive your heavenly grant for my freedom and deliverance from whatever addiction. Father, in the name of Jesus, I am compelled to the throne of grace to present your word. According to John 16:23, Jesus said, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you that my Father will grant you whatever you ask in my name. I stand on Romans 10:9-10. I believe in my heart and say with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I also declare that as of today, I am free and delivered from whatever. According to Ephesians 3:16, I'm strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in my inner man by the Holy Spirit who lives and dwells in me. I'm strong in the Lord, and I'm empowered through my union with Him. I draw my strength from you, Lord, that strength which your boundless might provides. On the authority of Matthew 18:18-19, I bind Satan and all his principalities, powers, and master spirits who rule the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places, and declare them unable to operate in my life, and that I am loosed from their assignments in the name of Jesus. I will not become a slave of anything or brought under its power, and I cast down any and every thought that tries to exalt itself above the Word of God in my life. I cover myself today and every day with the full armor of God, which you have supplied for me, the helmet of salvation. My loins are girded with truth. I have on the breastplate of righteousness. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I hold the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With God's armor on, I'm able to stand up against all the strategies and deceits and fiery darts of the devil in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Because He lives in me, I'm able to withstand temptation. You always make a way of escape. Therefore, Father, I fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to your throne of grace, and I may receive your mercy for any failure and find your grace and help in good time for every need. Your help always comes just when I need it. Father, I thank you that today I'm delivered and free from my addiction to food, whatever, in Jesus' mighty name. Okay. After the request is made, thanksgiving of God is to come forth. Stick with it until it's manifested and stay in peace. Okay, Mark 4. And he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground, and then continues sleeping and rising night and day, while the seed sprouts and grows and increases, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe and permits, immediately he sends forth, puts in the sickle, because the harvest stands ready. It's important that you rest, because the word is what does its work. It says the earth produces by itself. Once the seed's planted, the earth will do the work. You're not supposed to be doing the work. You're supposed to be resting. Okay. All right, this is the petition that Amber and I made. It happened so quickly. This is what we did. Be it known this day, September 7, 2014, at 12:02 p.m., that we receive, Amber and I, a heavenly grant in the form of a minimum 10,000 square foot home. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come boldly to the throne of grace according to Hebrews 4:16. Your word says in Philippians 4:6, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. We also speak according to Mark 11:23 and 24. We believe we have received this home with all features listed according to Matthew 18:18-19, we bind Satan and all his forces, and we render them helpless and unable to operate against us. They will not hinder our grant. We stand in agreement, therefore, me and Mom set ourselves in agreement, and we believe we receive now, and we praise you for it, according to Hebrews 1:13-14. We loose the ministering spirits, and we charge them to go forth and cause our house property to come into our hands. Signed, and we signed our names and the dates. And like I said, she did a little bit and forgot about it. And I did it, and I even kind of forgot about it. But it was less than a year. We signed the papers on this in November the next year. So, you know, it's not to be taken lightly, but it's to be taken seriously. But the thing is, when we do this, it takes the burden off of us and onto the Word. The Word does the work. So the Lord spoke that to me this week. It's not about your labor, how much confession you do. Now, watering the Word is very important. If I was going to do anything, I'd be in the Word as much as possible. Let it water the Word. But resting and letting that work, that's what happened here. It's not about even where you are. If you can step out in faith and believe God for it, all things are possible to him who believes. You don't have to be years in it before you can dare the Lord to believe for something like this. But I would challenge you, you know, start with something small. I know when the first person we ever heard on faith was Brother Capps, and he said, believe God for a pair of socks before you, you know, first. Or a parking place when you go downtown. You know, little things. Build your faith on little things and then advance to bigger things. But, hey, if you can jump out and make a big leap, do it.